Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're getting into something really fundamental for anyone involved in construction, the National Building Regulations and Building Standards Act, the 1977 one.
That's right. It's basically the legal backbone for all building work. Our aim here is to, well, give you a quicker way to grasp how it enforces standards across the board, wherever local authorities have jurisdiction.
Okay. And I hear the term building itself is maybe wider than people think.
Oh, definitely. It's not just your house or an office block. Mm. We're talking structures for manufacturing, storage, yeah, but also things you might not expect.
Like what?
Like boundary walls, swimming pools in your backyard, even fuel pumps at a petrol station. It's surprisingly broad.
Wow, okay. Fuel pumps.
Yeah, and the key thing, the absolute core rule, is you just cannot erect any of these without getting written approval from the local authority first.
Right. No approval, no build. Simple as that.
Yeah.
So who's the gatekeeper here? Who actually handles this approval process?
Well, that would be the building control officer, the BCO. They're appointed by the local authority, and they need to be qualified. You know, civil engineering, architecture, building management, that sort of background.
And their job is?
Their job is critical. Mm. They check that the local authority's instructions are followed. They review the plans you submit, make recommendations on whether to approve them, do inspections, and crucially, they have to report any work that doesn't comply.
And if someone, say, ignores that first step, just starts building.
Well, that's an offense.
Absolutely.
And it's not a small one. The penalty can be a fine of up to R100 for every single day the building work continues without approval.
Every day. So if a project stalls or someone just, you know, tries to wing it for a few weeks.
Exactly. That liability adds up incredibly fast. It's a serious deterrent.
Okay. So you submit your plans. What are they actually looking for besides just, you know, technical compliance?
Good question. Obviously, the plans have to meet the requirements of the Act and any other relevant laws. But interestingly, the local authority can also refuse approval based on more subjective grounds.
Subjective? Like what?
Well, they can refuse if they think the proposed building will be, say, unsightly or objectionable, or if it might detract from the value of neighboring properties.
So it's not just about structural integrity, it's about how it fits in.
Precisely. Or, of course, if they believe it poses a danger to life or property. But yes, aesthetics and impact on neighbors do play a part.
And if you get refused and you think it's unfair, are you just stuck?
No, there's recourse. You can appeal the decision. There's a review board set up specifically for people who feel aggrieved by a local authority's refusal.
That makes sense. So the Act controls the start. Does it also manage things if construction kind of fizzles out?
It does. If work on a site stops completely for 3 months or more, the local authority can step in. They can order the owner to get back to work. Or if the half-finished building has become an eyesore or dangerous because it's been abandoned, they can actually order the owner to demolish it. So yeah, they maintain control throughout.
And safety seems to be a constant threat. You mentioned specific things.
Absolutely. Mm. For instance, there are clear rules about swimming pools. Mm. Owners must ensure access is properly controlled. Think fences, gates, safety covers, it's mandatory.
Right. Preventing accidents.
Exactly. And another big one is ground stability. If you're building on land that might be contaminated or unstable, like dolomite land, which is notorious for sinkholes.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Then the Act requires a proper geotechnical site investigation before you build. You need to know what you're building on. It's about preventing potential disasters down the line.
Okay, so you follow the rules, you build safely, inspections pass. What's the final hurdle?
That would be the certificate of occupancy. This is the official document from the local authority saying, yes, we're satisfied this building was built according to the Act and the approved plans.
And you can't just move in once the builders leave?
Technically, no. Not legally. You need that certificate. And getting it usually requires submitting further certificates from approved specialists, competent persons confirming things like the structural system and the fire protection systems are correctly installed and safe. Occupying without that certificate, unless you have specific permission, is another offense.
So wrapping this up, for you, the listener, perhaps an owner or a potential builder, what are the absolute must-know points?
I'd say two things stand out. First, building isn't casual. It needs formal, prior approval, and often specialist certification at key stages. It's a rigorous process.
And the second?
Second, the buck stops with the owner. Section 23 is very clear. Getting approval from the local authority doesn't absolve the owner from their fundamental duty of care regarding the building. You're still ultimately responsible.
Right. Approval isn't a shield against negligence.
Exactly. And maybe a final thought to leave with everyone. This legislation, it dives into incredible detail across, what, 25 technical categories, parts A through W. Think about structural stability, regulation B1-2.
It actually requires that your building's structural system is designed to prevent a collapse that's disproportionate to whatever caused the initial damage. So a small fire shouldn't bring the whole thing down. It makes you think, doesn't it? Just how complex and how vital these standards are in modern society, that level of mandated resilience, it's quite something.